The Bible and Happiness. Hi, this is Carl Kosar from the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue in our series of topics entitled, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet, the Bible for Today. To help us explore this important subject, I've invited again two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies, and Dr. Dave Thomas, the Dean of our School of Theology. Gentlemen, welcome again, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks, Carl.
Well, we continue in our topic about the Bible and what it has to speak to us today, and our topic is particularly the Bible and happiness. Now, happiness, I think we would agree, is part of the American dream, but one that is quite elusive. It's like a fleeting shadow that's often tantalizing close, but it seems just beyond our reach. What does the Bible have to say about this issue? To some, I think the topic of happiness in the Bible might sound like an oxymoron. The Bible and religion is something that's solemn and serious. The word happy seems rather flippant. Gentlemen, what do you think? Flippant? Bible topic, happiness? What do you think?
Is there a whole lot in the New Testament about, quotes, happiness?
Yeah, I actually did, just for fun, I did a word search of the word happiness. And to be honest, it doesn't appear actually that much, at least not that translation of happy, at least not in traditional translations.
Yeah. I know a translation that instead of saying the Beatitudes, instead of saying blessed are, it says happy are. I'm not so sure that's a good one.
See, to me, this whole issue revolves around how you define happiness.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that in our society there's a big deal of confusion about happiness. That we think that happiness is this joyous little fluttery feeling that floats around us all day long.
No, I actually looked the definition up. Here's the definition. Happiness is defined as characterized by good luck. And then they list.
No wonder we don't find it.
Then they list the synonyms: fortunate, lucky. Is this the biblical definition? Is this
maybe that's why it's not found so frequently in Scripture.
Good luck.
When I think of happiness, I like to think of a synonym as being joy.
Now, how's joy different from happiness?
Well, I think joy is a deep-seated contentment that nothing can disturb, or few things can disturb.
Mm.
It's and I think it's produced by a number of things. One is the absence of I think it's produced, first of all, by a sense of place, whether it be a sense of place in life in general or in families or in church or work. In other words, if you have a sense that you have a place where you belong, where you are making a good contribution, and where your life is being put to good use, that helps produce joy.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have an element of hope so that you can see the whole of life as going somewhere, and that you have some promise for after death, that there's joy.
So we come right back to this issue of hope, almost.
I think so. I think it's an element of joy. You know, happiness to me, you know, I think in life, in recent decades, that the meaning of life has been, to a large extent, determined by people's feelings.
Yeah. I was listening to you, I was going to say, happiness is a feeling. Joy is a disposition.
Mm-hmm. That's very nicely said.
Yeah.
Disposition.
But see, I think people today are pursuing happy feelings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, feelings are wonderful things. I liken them to color in a television picture. They're not actually the picture. They nuance the picture and make it much more pleasant to look at. But, you know, it's very unrealistic to think that you're going to have happy, bubbly feelings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is just not that way. And if that's what you link the meaning and significance of life to, you're going to live a miserable existence.
Yeah.
Because those kind, especially if they're intense feelings, we don't experience tense feelings for very long periods of time. We blow a fuse.
Yeah. It would be rather miserable to live that way.
Yeah.
You'd be bouncing off of one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
I think that's an important distinction, because I think we get this idea that religion, that, you know, Christian experience should be defined by that happiness. In fact, I watched a movie recently. I think it was called Facing the Giants, which was a Christian production where a man who's living a life, and he's a football coach, and his car doesn't work, his wife's not pregnant, and he's going to be fired. But then he comes to the Lord, And all of a sudden, his life is energized with happiness, and he gets a car. His wife is pregnant. His football team goes to the playoffs, and they win the state championship. We watched that, and I thought, I wish that were true.
Yeah.
But I think the Christian experience is not one of all peaks. I mean, there's valleys there, and if we have a false expectation, it could lead us down some dangerous spiritual paths.
And you think of the words of Jesus, said, "In this world, you will have trouble."
Mm.
Be of good cheer.
See, that's a great one.
I don't see any evangelists proclaiming that loudly. These television.
Now, that is a slight nuancing of the comment, but
yes.
Yeah, that is so interesting. Hmm. Actually, what we've come back to is the realism of the Bible.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And
its ability to contextualize life.
Yeah. This takes us back to last quarter's lessons on the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Very real life.
That's right. Unfortunately, though, some people take that realism and drive it into a dour, solemn,
very sour type.
Sour kind of, mm-hmm. of life, and that puzzles me because I think if you've experienced the hope, the blessed hope,
mm-hmm.
You can have joy in spite of this world. A lot of people think that happiness is somehow, the world is unfair unless it helps them to be happy.
Yeah. This raises the question. I mean, is true happiness really possible in a world full of sin and suffering?
Yeah.
You know, when I was...
Joy is possible,
yeah,
but not necessarily happiness.
Not frivolous happiness.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, I learned a wonderful lesson as a young minister. I was asked by a woman in my church to go and visit a lady who was in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
She was not a member of our congregation, but I went to visit her. And hers was a very pitiful circumstance. She was bedridden. She could, the people who took care of her would sit her up in the daytime. She had severe arthritis. She had, I don't know what all her medical problems were, but she could not even move her fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember anybody who was more contented and happy than that woman. She had a great big bird feeder outside her window, and she would feed the birds. When you called Goodwill Industries in that region,
mm-hmm.
it was her phone that rang. She would pick it up, and she that the only thing she could really do was answer. She used to write poems. I have some poems of hers written in very, she would wedge a pen into her hand somehow and would write this poem. But she was full of joy.
Yeah.
She was not known to complain. When you went there, you got a real lift. And I thought to myself as a young man, I wonder if in the midst of that kind of adversity and difficulty, I would be joyous. And you ask her, what's she happy about? Mm-hmm. Well, she knew where she came from. She had a very strong hope as to where she was going. And so she had been able to find some place in life.
Mm-hmm. See, that reminds me of last quarter's discussions of the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it says, there's a time for everything. A time to weep and a time to laugh, and so in this world, I don't think we don't need to have false expectations that we go around just with this glow that we're always smiling and happy. There are, I mean, losing my daughter once again. There is a sadness that pains my heart. I can still have joy in the Lord, but it's because of that hope, that confident expectation. But there are days when I just want to cry. But that's this life.
And there are days when you should cry, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try another kind of definition. I think happiness tends to be, can I use the word, provoked from outside.
Or induced is a better word.
Or induced, I think that's a better
provoked,
word.
Provoked, yeah, induced,
but
yes.
But joy is something that wells up from inside.
I like that.
There's a text on that somewhere, isn't there?
I can't think of it right now, but I can think of another text that I like from Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Paul had the key to that inner joy. In Philippians chapter 4, he's in prison, and church sends him money, and he thanks them for it. And then he says, not that I am referring to being in need. And that's chapter 4, verse 11. I got to read this because it's profound. For I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed or of going hungry, of having plenty or being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Too many people take that last line out of context.
And it just applies to everything.
Yeah. It's about inner contentment.
And I like the verse 4 of that chapter.
Yes, that's a beautiful verse.
Shortest verse in Scripture, at least in Greek, right?
Yes.
Rejoice always, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice.
And where is Paul?
Yes.
He's in prison.
Yeah, with not much hope either.
No.
You know, I've taken that passage out of context sometimes, the one you read from Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, whatever state I'm in.
Yes.
Well, I've taken that very literally when I was in a Minnesota winter. Whatever state I'm in, I'm grateful. Out of context, but it gave me hope. It gave me some joy. You know, based on our definition of happiness being this sense of really it's a joy, right? It's something that God gives us based on our confident expectation in His promises. Who do you think, in your opinion, was the quote-unquote happiest person in the Bible and why?
Oh, my.
Happiest person. I struggle with this question. Who's the happiest person? All kinds of characters in the Bible, right? From Abraham, Moses, Joseph.
I don't know. My mind tends toward people like Daniel and John, the beloved.
Why?
Only because they lived long lives and, you know, you read nothing against them. And I think that there was a deep-seated contentment in them that in spite of their adversities, they kept. You see, what I like about joy is that nobody can take it away from you. It's something you can surrender, but nobody can take it away from you because it's as you say, it's induced from inside. Mm-hmm. And I think those two men, although I also wonder about Abigail.
Her husband who was struck down, right?
Yeah, but you know, when you read about that woman.
Married to David.
Yeah, but when you read about her, it seems to me that she had a lot of good things going on inside of her.
Hmm. There's so many, you know. I used to call Hannah. Untold stories. We don't know that. We wish we had more information, like Abigail. But Hannah, yes, another one. Yeah. Mother of Samuel.
Yeah. I'm going to make an unlikely suggestion. Mm-hmm. Paul.
Okay.
you know, he's in prison, and in Philippians, one of the words that occurs more than any other word is joy and rejoice.
Yes.
I think his whole mission was driven by joy.
So it could be the happiest book
the
in the Bible.
The joy of the gospel.
But again, because
happiness maybe is not the best word,
but
joy.
Mm-hmm.
He had the joy of the gospel.
He had hope. He had purpose.
Yeah.
He had a mission.
Yeah.
So
his life was full.
Yeah.
I have finished the course. I have run the race.
Yeah.
He could say at the end, even though he was, you could hear in 2 Timothy that he's a little down.
I actually, on my list here, I put Paul down with a question mark. And
I
ended up going actually to two others. And I thought, one, the widow of Nain.
Oh, yes.
Right,
oh,
when her son was brought to life. What happiness and joy.
Yeah.
Then that immediately made me go to the resurrection. I thought, the disciples at the resurrection.
Wow.
The realization.
I think they were freaked out myself.
I think they became happy, but I think it was like,
what's this?
Well, gentlemen, it's been an excellent discussion again. Thank you so much to Bruce Johansson and Dr. Dave Thomas. And, of course, always Susan Michaels, whose technical assistance makes all this possible. And you, our listeners of Probe. Please join us again next week as we continue this important topic on the message and the value the Bible has for us today. For Probe, I'm Carl Cosart.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.